Big Picture Radio right now with Alex Smith. Get it all, ecoshock.org. A new university study shows emissions of the dangerous greenhouse gas methane are much higher than the American government reports. Have artificially low figures protected the American cattle industry and fossil fuel producers? Joining us is Scott M. Miller. He's from the Department of Earth and Planetary Science at Harvard. Scott is the lead author of a paper just published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science titled Anthropogenic Emissions of Methane in the United States. Dr. Miller, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thanks for having me on the show today.
There's been a growing concern, as you know, about methane leaking out of the melting Arctic, and that's why it's alarming to find the government agencies, like the Environmental Protection Agency, may have been underestimating real methane emissions in the lower 48 states. Why did your group undertake a new look at this?
I think we really came across this project a little bit by happenstance. It's really interesting that you mention methane leaking out of a melting Arctic, because that was really the first question that we were interested in. We had an undergraduate in our group. Her name is Talia Havis, and she was investigating methane emissions from Arctic and boreal regions of Canada, you know, really cold parts of Canada with lots and lots of wetlands that emit methane in the atmosphere. You know, we have collaborators here in the United States that are also taking measurements of methane in the atmosphere. And I had sort of thought, well, you know, why don't we try to do a similar type of analysis over the U.S. and see what we find there? And I think a lot of the results really surprised us, that we saw such high methane emissions, and in particular that we saw such high emissions over places like, you know, Texas and Oklahoma in the U.S.
And you measured those from planes and high towers, that sort of thing?
Yep, that's correct. So our colleagues at NOAA, which is the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and DOE, the Department of Energy, take these measurements of methane gas in the atmosphere. So they take air samples from the top of telecommunications towers, and a lot of these towers are the height of the Empire State Building or taller. So they're really high up there in the atmosphere, or rather high up above the ground. And we also take air samples from airplanes and measure methane gas in those samples. So the sort of principle or the idea behind our study is that all methane that's emitted at the surface eventually goes into the atmosphere. So when we're measuring methane gas concentrations in the atmosphere, we're really seeing the amalgamated signal of methane gas emissions over a regional scale. And, you know, using these measurements of methane gas in the atmosphere, we can get a pretty good estimate of total emissions of the gas over, say, a region or over the entire United States.
And the bottom line is, how much more methane is America emitting than the EPA reports?
Our estimate of methane gas emissions is 1.5 times that of the U.S. EPA. And I'll give you a little bit more context on that number. The states of California and Massachusetts, for example, have required reductions in greenhouse gas emissions. And both states are requiring about a 15% reduction from current levels by the year 2020. In contrast, you know, the discrepancy between our study and the U.S. EPA's estimate is more along the lines of 50%. And 50% is a whole lot greater than 15%.
Well, Scott, why don't we break this down a bit? I know many of my listeners suspect fracking is a major source. Were you able to determine that?
Unfortunately, we were not able to get a specific number of methane from fracking. And I know that's really been an issue that's been a point of public debate recently. When we measure methane gas in the atmosphere, we're measuring the accumulated effect of all methane emissions over a broad region. And so that means that we get a pretty good idea of total methane emissions, but on the other hand, it means that we can't really tell whether, you know, most of that gas is coming from a certain cattle farm or a certain oil and gas facility or from a certain landfill. We just see the effect of all of these different sources together.
Do the south central states like Louisiana or Texas or Oklahoma show up more on the methane map than other places?
Yeah, you've really hit on, I think, one thing that we found most striking about our results. We find the highest emissions of methane gas in the atmosphere over places like Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, and Kansas. A former PhD student in our group had used some methane measurements from aircraft a few years ago. His name is Eric Court. And in a 2008 study, he estimated total methane gas emissions over the United States. And we sort of had a good idea from his study that total U.S. methane emissions were higher than estimates from the EPA. But what we've really learned from this study, which I think is new and surprised all of us, is how important the states of Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, and Kansas are in U.S. methane emissions. And in fact, Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas alone account for about a quarter of all U.S. methane emissions in our estimate.
Well, beyond fracking, there's a ton of refining in the states like Texas. We have a listing of their emissions in that global methane inventory called EDGAR. Are those numbers accurate?
You're correct. There is a lot of refining in these states, and particularly in Texas, like you point out. Using our methodology, we get some idea that ruminants, and that refers to cows and sheep, and also the oil and gas industries as a whole, are probably part of the big discrepancy in methane emissions over places like Texas and Oklahoma. But we don't really get specific information about refining. The reason why we think that the oil and gas industries as a whole are important contributors is because of a really important gas called propane that we're able to measure in the atmosphere. So our colleagues at NOAA measure methane, as we had talked about before, but they also measure a gas in the atmosphere called propane. And it turns out that propane is a product of the oil and gas industries, but it's not produced by cows, it's not produced by wetlands, it's not produced by most other emitters. And it turns out that in places like Texas and Oklahoma, when we see high propane levels in the atmosphere, we also see high methane levels in the atmosphere. And similarly, when we see low propane levels, we also see low methane levels. So we think that the oil and gas industries as a whole are an important player in these regions in Texas and Oklahoma. But, you know, whether those emissions are coming from refineries or from the well sites, it's not entirely clear.
And as you point out, it's not just fossil fuels. The cattle industry is a well-known source of this super greenhouse gas, methane. Can you talk to us about that?
So the United States Environmental Protection Agency estimates greenhouse gas emissions in the United States. And they update their estimate every year. And some years they list ruminants, cows and sheep, for example, and manure management as being the largest source of methane in the U.S. And other years they list the oil and gas industries as being the largest source of methane in the United States. So these two sources are really competing for being the dominant sources of methane in the U.S. most likely. And we think that the amount of methane coming out of cows is much higher than what existing emissions inventories have estimated. And here's why. We estimate methane emissions over all of the U.S. And in particular, we can focus in on places that have a lot of cows, but that don't have a whole lot of other methane-emitting activities. States like South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, all of those places have a lot of cows, but obviously not a lot of oil or gas drilling or a whole lot of people that might be producing methane. And in those areas, we see about twice the amount, or we estimate about twice the amount of methane emissions than in existing emissions inventories. And so that would lead us to believe that there's probably some sort of discrepancy with cows.
And as your paper points out, the EPA recently reduced its estimates of emissions from the natural gas industry. Was that the right move?
That's a really good question. Our estimate of methane, total methane emissions over the United States is much, much higher than U.S. EPA's estimate. It's hard to conceive how EPA's recent downward revision in methane emissions would be consistent with the actual measurements of methane that we've taken in the atmosphere. So we don't think that it was the right move. Again, we don't have specific information in our report on the natural gas industry, but it's hard to imagine how this reduction from EPA could be consistent with what we're actually seeing in the atmosphere.
Well, the cows would have to be producing a lot to get the extra that you found. Okay, this is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith. We are talking methane emissions from America, the new numbers in a scientific study. Our guest is Harvard's Scott Miller. Scott, your paper lists methane as the second most important greenhouse gas forced into the atmosphere by human activity. And you say it is, quote, approximately one-third the total radiative forcing of carbon dioxide. Could you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah, so when we're sort of thinking about greenhouse gases and climate change in general, there are a lot of different players and a lot of different actors. You know, there are a number of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. You know, one of them obviously being carbon dioxide, another is methane. Another one that's commonly talked about is another gas called nitrous oxide. But out of all the different greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, long-lived greenhouse gases, carbon dioxide in particular is of primary concern. And the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, estimates that methane globally has about one-third the contribution to climate change as carbon dioxide.
I find that interesting because I remember James Hansen in the Bush years when oil was not even to be talked about and carbon dioxide. He came up with a plan that he thought could at least halt short-term warming by controlling methane. And I hope to talk to you at the end of this about some of the things that we could be doing about methane. But I discovered something I didn't know in your paper. Again, in addition to pushing climate change, higher methane levels can also damage human health through smog. How does that work?
One particular acute health hazard in many places in the United States and throughout the world is surface-level ozone. Ozone way up in the atmosphere is, in the stratosphere, is very beneficial. But down at the surface, where humans actually live, ozone can be much more damaging to human health. Ozone can be produced by a bunch of different chemicals in the atmosphere. For example, one important player, or one of the most important players, are nitrogen-containing compounds that are released by cars and trucks and many other human sources that are found throughout big cities in the United States. But it turns out that methane can also interact with this sort of big, complicated chemical cycle in order to produce more ozone. A lot of times we usually think of, you know, the chemicals coming out of cars and trucks as being most important in this sort of health hazard. Methane can also play a role. It's not as big of a role, but it's still an important role.
Scott, I mentioned fears of Arctic methane emissions, but Dr. David Archer on this program, he's from the University of Chicago, he continues to say methane from the subtropics, including the United States, is a larger threat. Can you put your findings in context with global emissions?
There are a number of different sources of methane globally. For example, at the global scale, you know, wetlands are thought to be a really important source of methane to the atmosphere. And there are a number of different anthropogenic sources of methane, for example, coal mines, for example, landfills or wastewater treatment facilities. But in sum total, we think that anthropogenic sources, a.k.a. human-related sources, probably account for 50 to 65% of the global methane budget. And those are numbers taken from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. But I think that there's still an extremely large amount of uncertainty on, you know, how much methane might be coming from different types of sources, for example, from the Arctic versus from the subtropics versus from wetlands, you know, compared to the oil and gas industry. You know, I think this high level of uncertainty is one thing that our study really pinpoints and really, really emphasizes. I think at the moment I would be hesitant to compare Arctic methane emissions against the subtropics because I think that there's really still a lot that we just don't know.
It does make me wonder, your paper, whether other countries, including Russia, are understating their releases from the natural gas industry. But then I had to ask myself, does Russia even publish such statistics?
One thing that's wonderful about, you know, being in places like the United States and Canada and the European Union is that all of these regions are relatively proactive about measuring concentrations of methane gas in the atmosphere. And these measurements really help us get better estimates of emissions. In the United States, for example, we have about 10 different towers where we measure methane gas. We could have a whole lot more than 10 towers, but, you know, 10 is pretty good, comparatively speaking. In places like Russia, we have almost no measurements of methane gas in the atmosphere. So in a sense, we don't even really know what's happening there. It's also really interesting that you mention Russia, because back in the early 1990s, we saw globally a pause in the increase of methane gas in the atmosphere. And why the changes in methane gas paused in the 1990s globally is really a scientific question that's received a lot of debate. But a lot of people think that it could have been due to changes in methane emissions from Russia, changes associated with the fall of the Soviet Union, and, you know, how that might have affected natural gas infrastructure and infrastructure there.
Right. Well, as you point out, America is one of the most documented places for things like methane, but I'm betting countries on the verge of a fracking bonanza, like the United Kingdom, for example, have been quoting these lower-than-reality figures provided by the EPA. And Edgar, what do you think about that?
A number of our colleagues in the United Kingdom and in Europe have been looking really closely at methane using the measurements there. People like Alistair Manning, who is at the UK Met Office, and Peter Bergamaschi, who works out of Italy. And they've also been finding methane emissions over those regions that may be higher than government estimates there. So this really is not this sort of concern about estimating methane emissions and the high levels of uncertainty regarding methane emissions aren't just restricted to the United States, but are also issues in places like the United Kingdom. It's unclear, you know, how this fracking bonanza, you know, in a sense, might affect methane emissions. Our study doesn't really address that particular issue, but I think we need to be careful in our estimates of methane emissions everywhere, the United Kingdom, the European Union, not just in the U.S.
Well, my next question, maybe you can't comment about it as a scientist, but the rest of us do suspect the government may be influenced by the fossil fuel and cattle industries to lowball the methane emissions. Do you personally have the same misgivings?
That's a really good question, and I don't really share a lot of those misgivings. And I would say that it's actually really, really hard to put together these emissions inventories of greenhouse gases. Places like the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and EDGAR is an emissions inventory that's put out by a research center at the European Commission. They basically use an accounting-type measure in order to make up an estimate of methane and greenhouse gas emissions. For example, they'll count up the total number of cows around the United States and in Europe, the total number of oil and gas facilities, total number of landfills, and then try to estimate what are known as emissions factors. So what do we think is the average amount of methane produced by an average cow on a given day, or the amount of methane produced by an average gas facility or average oil facility? You multiply these numbers together, and that add up all of the different parts in order to get a total methane emissions estimate for the United States or for whatever country that you're dealing with. And it turns out doing this is a really, really, really hard problem. You know, it's really hard to count up the total number of cows across the United States or get a strong sense of exactly how much, you know, natural gas is being produced. Natural gas, for example, is information is collected by individual states, and different states have different reporting guidelines. So I think we have to give them credit for, you know, people, places like the EPA, give them some credit for tackling a problem that is really the impossible, trying to answer something, you know, a question that in a sense is really, really difficult for anyone to have an answer to.
Well, I think I like your approach a lot better. I mean, what really matters is how much methane is there in the atmosphere. And if we can measure it in the atmosphere, then we're going to be better off. I'm wondering, during this study or even thinking about these results, did you come across real-world ways we could be reducing methane emissions in order to stave off even more warming?
I don't think our study really gives many specific tips or information as to how we could be reducing methane. But I think that one really important implication that it points out is how uncertain our estimates of greenhouse gas emissions really are. And as I pointed out before, our uncertainty on greenhouse gas emissions is much, much, much higher than the demands of current greenhouse gas reduction policies. If we want to understand greenhouse gas emissions to the extent that's required by proposed regulations, then we really need a whole lot more measurements of methane gas in the atmosphere than we have. And we also really need a really close collaboration between people like myself who do these top-down studies and people like the U.S. EPA and those who construct the EDGAR inventory in order to really bridge those bottom-up accounting type methods with the type of top-down studies that we use. And in the U.S., for example, as I pointed out, we have 10 of these, you know, tall towers where we measure methane. But for a place that's the size of the United States, 10 really isn't a whole lot. And so we'd really like to have many more measurements to at least estimate greenhouse gas emissions to the extent required by policy.
Okay. Our guest has been Dr. Scott Miller from the Earth and Planetary Sciences at Harvard University. He's part of a team of scientists who just published an important paper showing American government statistics on methane emissions do not reflect what is actually leaking into the atmosphere. You can find a link to that in my show blog at ecoshock.info. Thank you, Dr. Miller.
Yeah, and thanks again for having me.
I'm Alex Smith, reporting for Radio EcoShock.